Thank you. my people.
And you are tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York, and on the web at WBAI.org. This is Night Shift. I'm Mike Sargent, and what you just heard, that intro, was actually from some years ago. That was an intro that was done from December of 2013. So that's 9 years ago, just a little less than 9 years ago. So as we are continuing here on Night Shift, celebrating 30 years of Night Shift, I've been playing vintage episodes, or as I like to say, encore presentations of classic episodes of Night Shift. I'm going to go for two segments of two specific episodes. The first one we'll come back to, that's from 2013, but first we're going to play an episode, a unique episode, and I like to play some of the episodes that were sort of classic, what we normally did, but then unique episodes where I recorded the episode live, or at least the intro for the episode live, And it was myself and Byron and Joe Masseri and the mystery guest at the time, which was Maria, who some of you may remember. And this was literally 10 years ago, because this was 2012, and it was from April 16th, 2012. And this is how we opened the show. There's also an interview with a director and subject of a documentary for a drummer who was in a band called Hole. For those of you who remember, who are old enough to remember what Courtney Love did after Kurt Cobain passed, she was in a band called Hole. And so there are a number of things that are interesting about this episode, but it will be interesting just to hear how different it was, how we were trying some different things, opening up. And then I'll come back or move forward a little bit to 2013. So stay tuned for this segment of another classic Night Shift as we celebrate 30 years of being on the air.
Your eyes are filled with tears.
My heart is filled with gladness. Oh, look. The orchestra is getting ready. Dance with me, George.
As luck would have it, this is a gathering of the Night Shift hosts.
I'm better known as Mr. Clown now, okay?
And before I introduce the cast of characters, I'll just let you know that you are tuned to listener-sponsored radio. WBAI 99.5 FM in New York and on the web at WBAI.org.
Night Shift.
And we have a website too, Byron.
Yes, we do.
Byron is here.
Thank you. Night
What's
Shift.
The website?
I'm up.
You know the website?
Yeah, but I can't recall it at the moment.
Okay. Life is like sciencefiction.com. Byron doesn't remember. And the mystery guest is here.
Hello, everybody.
And the infamous Joe Masseri.
Good evening, one and all.
Wow. We have come to show together with this crew.
Well, the weather's nice.
Byron didn't bring any food.
Byron, where's your food?
Usually brings like fresh diced fruit and nuts and
candy.
Oh, candy. You know, Byron, you should have a tooth in your head. Byron just pulled out a basket of candy. Now, we're not really allowed to talk about it, but we just saw a movie but we can't talk about it.
No, we can't talk about it.
We just saw The Raven.
We can't talk about it.
Can't talk about it.
Embargo
too.
So can we use any kind of descriptive words at all?
Say what it's about.
Okay, what's it about?
It's John Cusack playing Edgar Allan Poe, and a Gaslight and Ghost kind of tale, reimagining the
Gaslight
world.
And Ghost.
Well, yeah.
Reimagining.
That's period talk.
Yes.
By the way.
Reimagining the mystery surrounding the last 3 days of his life up until when he was found dead on a park bench in Baltimore. So they're trying to fill in the gap.
So that's what the story. The mystery.
The mystery.
Because he just showed up on a park bench.
They found him dead.
And was he clean shaven and everything?
I don't know.
Okay. Mystery guest. Mystery guest, you were there, but you can't really talk about it. But did you enjoy
the freezing experience of the first air conditioning in New York City with the first summer day. Yes, when you dress up, you know, like a summer day, and then you go inside a fridge, a real fridge.
It was really, really cold. Were you cold, Barn?
I had my jacket on the entire time.
Cold. I was fine. I was enjoying it.
Joe's got insulation.
There you go.
You know. So, Mr. Masir, you've seen some of the films at Tribeca?
Yes, I have. I've seen a bunch of them. A film called Graceland, that's very good. But why are we talking about it? Because Wednesday night it kicks off.
Okay.
So Wednesday night's the start of it. So, and you and I, as fans of genre stuff, if you should buy your ticket because the weather's supposed to be nice on Thursday and Friday. They're doing the restored version of Jaws in the drive-in on the pier.
Stop. And they're doing the restored version of Jaws on the drive-in?
At the drive-in part of Tribeca.
Have you ever seen Jaws?
No.
You've never seen Jaws?
Wow. Okay, I'm going to the pier. What time?
We got to look. It's in the book, but it's on Thursday.
Okay. Thursday.
Yes.
Jaws on the pier.
And then on Friday, they have Goonies.
All right, so you say Goonies is playing after Jaws.
I'm looking at the exact...
And you've actually seen Goonies.
I saw Goonies, and then I can say that it was a little girl, a baby almost, so I can say that I was very young. I'm still very young because I was a baby. I cannot even recall Goonies.
Yeah, I understand. And what about you, Byron? Do you remember Goonies?
Goo goo gaga, goo goo gaga.
So here it is. Yes. So it's Thursday. It's at 8 o'clock. And if you come early, they have contests and trivia and music. And sometimes they even have, like, you can bring your own blankets and chairs, but they also, like, you get there earlier, they have, the back seats of the cars.
Oh, there. Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah.
Downtown Pier?
This is,
Pier 92?
No, this is the one on the west side.
All the piers on the west side, Joe. Just so you know.
Have to look it up. But go to the Tribeca Film Festival website and
What's the website, Joe?
I'm getting it, Mike.
But you Google Tribeca Film Festival, it goes out.
Look at that. And they don't even have it on the front cover.
Look at that. That's very old school not to have the website there.
You should have the drive-in here.
Yes.
Hold on the back.
Now, somebody should call Chris.
Somebody should.
Can I make a surprise? Give me the number. That would be a surprise.
What? They move what?
I will ask him on a date.
It's at the World Financial Plaza.
So can I see
West Street south. Between Vesey
and Liberty.
Can I make a joke?
Yeah.
You can make a joke.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will pretend that it's me, mystery guest, asking him on a date.
Perfect. You got to ask him on the speakerphone.
Okay.
Okay, hold on.
I'll ask him on a date.
There you go, Marilyn. Just for you.
Byron.
Yes.
Calm yourself.
I'm okay.
We have to describe
that there is a beautiful bartender here in the place. She's gorgeous, so he's right too.
Byron is macking.
He's right too.
Ever the mac. Ever the mac.
She's very beautiful.
What am I looking for? Chris's number, yes. All right, so finish your information, Joe.
So they actually moved it down to the World Financial Center, which is at Vesey and Liberty.
Move what?
The drive-in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like near Battery Park.
Right. So that's what, and they're doing it indoor, so I guess if it rains, it doesn't
indoor,
get
so it's an indoor drive-in?
Yeah.
So what do you drive to an indoor drive-in?
Exactly.
I want to know what
but
you drive.
But you know what? It's always a good experience.
Okay. Here's the number. I guess we shouldn't give it out over the air. So
no, we
here's the number.
Okay. Oh, sorry. 518?
Yes, but don't give out the whole number now.
No, can I... Okay, just the first.
Just the mobile one.
Okay.
No, we're going to call Chris right now.
If he answers.
Yes, yes.
And he won't know what's going on. You have speaker on this, right?
Yes, of course.
So...
The speakers, they drive you crazy, remember?
We can talk about the movie that we saw.
Yes.
Can I say that...
We could talk about Titanic. We saw Titanic last week.
Yes, we did.
In 3D.
3D.
The 3D is very good, Joe.
Now, the answers, you have
Joe, the 3D is very good.
Yes, so I heard, and you heard about the thing about the astronomer. The only thing that's been really changed in the movie, that an astronomer sent an email to Cameron and said, if you're going to go back and fix anything, you need to fix the star map.
And he did?
He did. That's the only thing.
Oh, wow. I love that.
And remember that scene, because when we looked up to it...
It's not picking up the phone.
Let's see.
Is he one? Hello? No, I knew.
Yeah.
Shall I leave a voice
note? Yes. Hello?
Hey, Chris. Hello? Chris? Are you there?
No.
arm again.
All right, since we can't talk about
is he one of those who doesn't answer to the phone when he doesn't recognize the number?
Probably. But try him again. If you call a second time, he'd be like, who is this?
Oh, okay. All
right.
Okay. Since we can't talk about the movie that we saw, what I will say about the movie that I did see was that it reminded me of a movie that I saw.
Hello. Hello, Chris.
How about
Hi. Chris.
Speaker.
Hello. Chris, can you hear me? Chris, can you hear me? Chris, hello.
Testing.
What's going on? I mean, there is connection.
All right, let's try for Byron's phone. Byron.
So the movie.
You call your
hello, Chris.
Yeah. You got it?
Chris,
yeah.
This is mystery guest. Remember me?
Hey,
I'm sorry, I asked your number to Mike, is that okay?
Sure, what's going on?
Okay, you know what, it's been months, I'm too curious, I want to meet you, Chris, can I, please? I'd like to meet you just for a coffee or drink, anytime. Chris?
I'm down in New York.
And New York. What? When are you going to New York? When are you coming to New York? Chris?
It's not on the schedule yet.
Oh, God. You're not...
I haven't been down in New York in about a couple of months, but I'll probably be down. I go into my busy schedule, but I could probably, you know, hook up in June or something.
Oh, okay. But so you're not planning to come anytime soon? It's so gorgeous now. It's beautiful up there.
Yeah, it's nice.
What's
all right, Chris, we're all here. We're trying to see if you would take the bait and if you would just come down. Because I asked him to come down, he won't come down. He won't even come down for the mystery guest. So, Chris, we're all here at a table, talking, doing night shift. We're doing night shift right now. You're on night shift.
It's my favorite show.
We're on night shift.
Yeah, Joe's here, too.
Joe's here, too.
That's right.
Can you hear me?
Yes. How are you? What's up? I can't hear.
You on a motorcycle?
No. We're actually
we're doing the show on a motorcycle.
There you go. I'm in the sidecar and Mike's driving.
Yeah, right.
And Byron's in the back.
That's right.
Exactly. And the mystery guest is on the front.
Exactly. With
holding
Mike.
Holding on for dear life.
So there you go.
What the hell?
It's a beautiful day. We decided to do the show outdoors.
Yes. We're doing the show al fresco.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Al fresco.
Yeah, nice Italian guy.
Are you going to dine al fresco too?
We got to go to another place because they just opened the place we're at because it's such a beautiful day and their cook actually has the night off.
Yeah, we're at the night shift bar.
Somewhere on
Byron.
Oh,
Essex. Byron is trying to mack on the waitress.
How long goes
about 5 minutes.
I don't get that.
This is the weirdest thing I've ever done.
This is like
channeling Chris.
So Chris, tell us something. Do you have any life is like science fiction for us?
It just comes out.
What, today?
Yeah.
This is like life is science fiction.
It is?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Hey, what are you doing on Thursday night?
What's Thursday?
Thursday night is part of Tribeca. They're showing the Tribeca Film Festival. They're showing Jaws at the Tribeca Drive-In, the digitally restored print.
It's an indoor drive-in, though.
Yeah, it's indoor.
I don't know what that's all
come
about.
Come up in your go-kart.
But it's
good.
What do you think about that, Chris? Tell the audience.
Tell them about your pet shark.
Is Spielberg going to show up or what?
You never know.
Oh, my God.
And you know what they're showing on Friday night?
Yeah, what we should be doing is streaming. I should just be streaming and do the first part of the show streaming.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
But you know what they're showing Friday night?
Oh, that would confuse them.
You there, Chris?
Something over all the freeze frames, right?
Goonies.
That's good.
Oh, man.
And even the mystery guest has seen Goonies. The mystery guest has never seen Jaws. Can you believe that?
How old is that movie? How old is Jaws movie?
What year did Jaws come out?
75.
75? I was born in 75. Oh my God, I said it.
It's okay.
I'm still young.
Jaws came out the year she was born, Chris.
Together, same day. Delivered the same day.
Oh my God.
Isn't that amazing?
It's
reckless. It's reckless.
All I know is, what year did the movie come out that Byron was born?
Gone with the Wind.
Things to come.
I was trying to be at least a little courteous.
Birth of a Nation.
Birth of a Nation. Byron celebrated his centennial along with film.
Wings.
One of those, right?
The toss-up.
Yeah, he was in Wings. He was, he was an extra on the bus. Did you know Byron was in Sharky's Machine? Oh my God, I gotta tell you something. Let me tell you something really weird. Like, now I told you my experience of going to see Wizard of Oz. You've seen the Wizard of Oz, Mr. Guest?
Yes.
Okay. You have?
Of course.
In its entirety?
It was double.
Okay, it was double.
Have you ever seen the Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd soundtrack?
No, that I didn't.
You got to do that sometime. Smoke a couple of chips.
Well, I went to see Wizard of Oz with Byron.
Yes,
and as I sat there with this grown-ass man, he sat there mouthing every word of dialogue, like enraptured. He knew every word of dialogue.
They do the sing-along at the Ziegfeld. We got to take them.
No, well, yeah, believe me, he was at the Ziegfeld. I took him.
Yeah,
so now listen, they didn't have the sing-along, though, because Byron was sing-along on his own. Byron does his own sing-along. But listen, so I went to see Titanic in 3D, okay? Chris, you there?
Right.
And I went with Byron and I went with Kevin Scott. Kevin Scott sat there mouthing every word of dialogue. He had seen the film 40. He's seen it 40 times.
Yes. And he said,
Kevin Scott.
Kevin Scott has seen the film 40 times.
Alongside with Kevin, it's like doing all the lines.
It was almost like being with Byron. Can you imagine that?
With Kevin Klein.
Chris?
That's creepy.
It is creepy. It's weird. It's wild, actually. And Kevin's a grown-ass man.
First of all,
well, I did wear my Star Trek shirt at a Wrath of Khan screening, but so what?
And you have your Star Trek altar.
I do not have a Star Trek altar. It's not a Kirk altar.
Oh. What would you call it?
I could mouth the dialogue to the Wrath of Khan, and I could do Gladiator.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, you look like Roddy McDowell, but that's beside the point. With the
ape. Are you Roddy McDowell now that he's been in the ground 5 years?
No, Roddy McDowell with the ape makeup on.
That's what Chris looks like.
So, Chris, we're on, like, the loudest corner in New York City right now.
Made it on purpose.
Exactly.
Essex and Houston.
That's where we're at, the corner of Essex and Houston. Byron knows where he is. He's got a built-in navigational system.
And we couldn't get into the first place because Mike didn't bring his ID.
Yeah, I didn't bring my ID. I left without it. I just put cash in my pocket and went out. And there it is. All right, so now we can hear anything. So... you have Life is Like Science Fiction for us?
You know, at the Star Trek convention in London, all the captains are getting together. How's that?
Stop. All the captains are getting together at the Star Trek convention in London?
Yeah.
Are they going to show the captains? Just announced.
Are they going to what?
And are they going to show the captains?
I saw that.
Probably.
Well, I'm ready to go see it. You want to go to London?
No.
Why? It's the captains.
I've been there.
What about you?
I go to London too often already. I don't like it.
What about you, Byron? Are you going to go see the captains?
It smells like diesel.
Captain.
Well, what about the captains live? The real captains? The humans. All the captains are going to be.
They're going to be there?
They're all going to be at the convention. Shatner and all of them.
When,
Chris?
At his age, that's an appropriate last name.
I'll tell you in 1 second. The other thing is that if they're doing it in London, that means it'll probably come to the... I mean, they'll probably do it in Vegas. You know what I mean?
Vegas.
Yeah, they closed the thing in Vegas.
They closed the Star Trek thing in Vegas?
Yeah, they
Why? Because they're going to revamp it.
No, wasn't enough.
Interest?
Yeah.
Nobody cared.
Not in Vegas.
Wow. I have friends who went. I never went. Did they have Star Trek in Italy, Mr. Guest?
No.
They did not have Star Trek.
Oh, yes, they did. Enough.
Enough. You never watched it?
No, I watched it, and I was even younger than I was.
You were really baby. You remember watching it as a baby. Okay, and was it dubbed? Was it dubbed?
Dubbed. It's so funny to see things dubbed.
All right, now let me ask you. How do you say he's dead, Jim?
in Italian.
I do not recall. It was probably one.
No, no. How do you say it in Italian?
Dead Jim.
He's dead Jim.
È morto Jim.
È morto Jim. Doesn't have the same feel. How about beam me up, Scotty? What do you say for that?
Beat me up, Scotty.
No, beam me up.
It's a different movie, Beat Me Up, Scotty. Oh,
No. Star Trek. All right. How about how do you say what's a good Star Trek phrase to hear in Italian, Chris?
No one. Come on.
All right. How do you say live long and prosper in Italian?
Vivi a lungo e prospera.
Was it one more time?
Vivi a lungo e prospera.
That sounds good. How's it sound to you, Chris? It is bizarre.
It is bizarre.
I think there's a cab waiting for us.
There you go.
I think it's in October. It's in October in London.
October in London. Yes, Mr. Saunders. Byron's raising his hand.
As I was about to say about the movie that I couldn't review.
We saw a movie that we can't review.
But I did want to say about the movie that I did see that reminded me of the movie that we could review, which I was sitting there in the opening 2 minutes, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm watching Guy Ritchie doing Sherlock Holmes. And that's all I can say.
That's all you can say. Chris?
Yeah,
Chris?
Yeah.
He's looking at me and he's saying you. No, I guess all those white guys look like you.
Yeah,
there.
The only white guys look the same.
I was calling
Chris to make sure he was still there.
Oh, okay. By the way, are you talking, Chris? Shut up. No, only kidding. One of our friends has a film coming out either this week or next week.
Who?
Episode 50 comes out on DVD.
Really? Ian's film comes out?
Yes.
On DVD?
Yes.
This week?
This Tuesday or next Tuesday?
Huh. You remember Ian?
Ian Holt.
Ian Holt, who's been on the show.
Totally. Episode 50 comes out on DVD. Have you watched the film that I gave you?
Of course.
He would never pass a lie detector test.
I am a lie detector. Chris?
Yeah.
Okay, you know what the theme of the show? You want to know the theme of the show?
Yeah, well, I want to tell you what I thought of.
Oh, what did you think of? What did you see? You found life-size science fiction?
No, I saw Cabin in the Woods.
What did you think?
I thought it was really good.
Okay, Joe, what did you think of Cabin in the Woods?
I didn't go see it.
What? Yeah, this is a horror movie that Chris saw that you didn't see?
Hold on, wait a minute. Mr. Horror himself?
Damn. He's sitting here with a cape. I just want you to know.
Exactly.
Joe, what happened, man?
Because there were like two opportunities to see it, and I was actually pre-committed to other things with the Tribeca Film Festival. And then
yeah, like he's so important.
No, but you know what? It's... All the good movies that I've seen over the last 2 years have all been the independent films and not the mainstream Hollywood films. At least I feel like I get a little bang for my buck, you know what I mean?
I understand.
So it's like it's something that I could like catch anytime on on demand. In fact, I've been astounded, because I have Showtime, I have HBO, I have Stars, I have the movies that, like, boom, all of a sudden, like, Win-Win is already on.
Yeah, it is. They're coming out even before they hit it. Now they release them, like, pay-per-view, then they release them in theaters.
Yeah, right, and then they're, like, right on demand. Scream 4 is already there. What else did I see? I watched a couple of movies this weekend. Like, I was doing stuff. I was like, wow, I can't believe they're there already.
The problem. When you watch too many movies, then you don't remember anything else.
Exactly.
But that's just they're not that good, because if they're really good movies,
you'll remember them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll tell you, I did see a couple of interesting films.
Yeah.
One, I saw a documentary about the drummer. Now, again, to me, if a documentary about something I really don't care about holds your attention, a documentary about the drummer from a band called Hole...
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Patty Schemmel?
Yeah.
Hit so hard. Very good. I got a chance to talk to Patty Schemmel and the director.
You're tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI, and I'm speaking with Patty Schemmel, who is a former drummer for Hole. Patty, welcome to WBAI.
Hi, thank you for having me.
When did you first know that you wanted to play music? When did you first know that it would be your life?
At 11... years old was when I first fell in love with drums and wanted to be a drummer, and so that sort of set me on my path right there. And
why a drummer as opposed to a keyboardist?
I'd seen when in school, in elementary school, maybe it's like a band would come through to do stuff for a school assembly, I can remember vividly the drummer of this band, and I just loved everything that he was doing, and the drums themselves and the sounds they made, and how everyone looked to him to sort of set the tempo, and that was where I first got the bug of the drums,
And for you, what about drumming is satisfying or fulfilling to you? Like, where does it take you when you drum? How would you describe what it was?
Well, I guess, the feeling that, at first it was, and it still is this way, that when I sit down behind the kit, it's a release of energy, and it just, it's such, I've always felt like attacking my drums and making, you know, it's a big noise. And always felt so good to, you know, to have that release of that energy that way, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I totally, well, I'll just reveal to you, I played drums in a rock band when I was in high school. Okay.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, and I have fond memories, and I love percussion. Now, let me just ask you a little bit more just about music for you. Do you feel, do you listen to all kinds of drumming? Have you heard, you know, various ethnic instruments? Are you interested in percussion in general, or is it just the music and what you've brought to it, or the music you like, alternative rock, punk rock?
Right. You know, when I started to play, my you know, I was in school band, you know, and in orchestra, and, you know, and in marching band, and then jazz band, and then my teacher that I started to have private lessons, he was a jazz drummer, so, you know, that opened up the jazz world to me, which at the time, you know, I understood, but really didn't get it. I wanted to play rock, you know,
mm-hmm.
and in, you know, in school band and orchestra taught me how to listen, you know, taught me how to listen to the band as a group instead of focusing on what I was doing. It was about listening to quiet and loud and all the things in between and how different instruments become important within a song, you know. And when I wanted to play a lot of what I was listening to on the radio, and so I would go home, you know, and play to whatever was on the rock station, and then, you know, then play jazz with my teacher, and eventually learning that, you know, you could blend both those things together and drums, you know, mm-hmm. and come up with cool ideas. And, you know, and it hasn't, you know, now that I'm older, I seem to enjoy listening to all different types of music more than I used to, you know?
Sure. Believe me, I do know. And considering that you also play guitar as well, tell me, and this is the last question just specifically about music because I don't want to get to the documentary. How do you compose with a drum? Is it always a collaborative thing where, you know, they'll come to you or whoever you're working will come to you with a melody and you'll say, okay, I can do this here, we can do that there? Or do you ever come up with the melody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it depends. Like if I came up with an idea, I usually, if you know, a lot of time it's, you know, my drum, I'll come up with a drum part that lends itself, you know, to the song, and then, or whatever the songwriter wants to convey in the, you know, in the song, and I love that collaboration. And then also, if I did have an idea as far as melody, I would always, you know, contribute that too. But it just depends on the moment and what's happening,
and who you're working with
in the writing process. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I would have to think that doing a documentary, even if it includes elements that you filmed yourself, has got to be something of a cathartic experience. So my first question is, in this process of doing this documentary, what have you come away from? What have you learned about yourself looking back at, you know, the last, you know, 30-plus years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, there's always those moments of looking back and knowing what decisions I'd made in back then and saying, today, oh, I wish I should have made this decision or that, you know, and changing sort of the course of time. But I also, you know, I think about the fact that I was so young then and we were all really young and there was a lot happening to us as a band and to me as a musician and a person, you know, coupled with the fact that, you know, I was starting a very difficult road of addiction as well, you know.
Mm-hmm. The question was, what did you learn about yourself that maybe you didn't know before doing this?
Right. You know, that, I guess, you know, at the, you know, nowadays, you know, I guess that eventually, you know, I talk about it in the film, is that, you know, back then I grew up just with that one focus that I was a drummer and that's what I wanted to do with my life. And now there's so much more to me than just being a drummer. And, you know, that there's, I've discovered so much more about, you know, there's other things I want to be and can be, you know.
Sure. What made you want to have this documentary done? What were you hoping maybe that others, besides, you know, what you personally could gain, what are you hoping maybe others can, you know, pull from this documentary, especially other musicians?
I mean, there's so, you know, after the screenings, when we do the Q&As, there's such good dialogue about addiction. And, you know, I don't believe that rock, you know, being in a rock band, you know, made me into a drug addict. I was that before I started playing music, you know, and that it's just what you do with the things you're given, you know, and the dialogue about being a gay woman and coming out and having that, you know, being, I was really blessed with the environment I was in, you know, that it was a safe place to be an out lesbian woman, you know, and
sure.
Also, yeah, so, you know, those three issues, you know, the recovery and coming out, and then, I forget what the third one was, but whatever, yeah, I mean, there's some good things to be discussed in that, you know, and that the working with girls in the rock camp is so important to me, too, because, which we talk about there, because it's a way to get, to give these girls that were at my age when I started some more tools to, you know, to be able to, you know, start their own bands and play music and, you know, just educate.
I am curious your thoughts about labels. A, the label of girls in rock and roll. B, the label of what it is to be a drummer in a rock band. C, the label of being a gay woman. I mean, do you reject? Do you embrace? Do you redefine? What are your thoughts on labels and how it can affect who you decide you want to be?
Yeah, I mean, I eventually would like to just be a drummer, you know? And that's, you know, I don't... I mean, I guess that's a simple answer, and it's a short one.
And does doing this documentary represent any amount of closure for you? Does it allow you to sort of look back in a way you couldn't have if you hadn't been involved in really having a beginning, a middle, and an end to a section of your life?
Yeah, it was after the sort of process got started, it was a real, I felt comfortable with telling the story and then sort of had a desire to find out, you know, I didn't really know how Melissa had felt about, you know, how things ended or how Eric had felt, you know, we sort of really drifted away from each other. And I'd always kept in touch with Courtney, but to find out what their thoughts was on it was important for me. And to have things sort of the process that it took to this point, you know, where it sort of reunited us all. As now that we're all adults, you know, like Eric has written his book and Melissa has, you know, has an art center, and we all played together this past weekend.
Oh, wow.
In Melissa's, she has a place called the Basilica in Hudson, New York. And,
how did that feel?
There.
How was that?
Pretty amazing. We did, you know, a bunch of cover songs, and then we did a one whole song from Celebrity Skin that Melissa and I wrote together called Use Once and Destroy. We played that, and it was really a great feeling and a good time to see, you know, to see everyone and to sort of reunite and play music together, because initially that's what brought us together in the first place, you know?
So tell me how this documentary ended up coming about. I mean, you mentioned in the documentary that you had all these tapes and you were documenting your life at the time, so there's a lot of this great footage from that time. But yeah. How is this approached to you, and how is it presented to you, and did you have any reservations?
Yeah, I did. You know, at the beginning, it was it was sort of me bringing the footage to David about just literally so that we could preserve it and digitize it.
Okay.
And then after looking at it while we were digitizing, he was saying, you know, this is such good stuff, you know, because he would ask me a question and I would tell him the story about behind it all, you know. And so he was interested in... filmmaker and decided, you know, never delved into the documentary style, but decided to go for it. And that's how it began. And I trusted him with the footage and my story, whereas because he's a friend and, you know, it's very sensitive stuff and there's a lot of personal things. And, some things could have been exploited. So... You know, he told my, I trusted my story with him, and of course, he took very good care of it.
Has it brought back anything that maybe you'd left behind, or has it, you know, sometimes, I'm speaking from personally, you can get caught up with whatever you're doing at the time, and sometimes you need certain things to kind of remind you of who you were, where you came from.
Right.
Was there any of that for you, where you kind of, this is where this part of me has come from?
Right. I guess, you know, in my feelings around it, it's so much about staying grounded and humble, you know, and to be grateful for what, you know, don't throw whatever your magic is, you know, don't throw it away and don't, you know, make sure that you take a minute to absorb what is going on around you and to carry that, you know, and to not, you know, my addiction was a big part of my life then, and taking, you know, taking care of that today is a big part of my life, you know, and putting things into perspective, you know, like today I wouldn't have any of the things I have if I hadn't gotten clean and sober, so to take care of, nurture my recovery is most important, and to also stay humble and not, you know, there's so many gifts that, and to not you know, take things for granted.
Well, I have to say that humility definitely comes across, but what also comes across is, however, whatever your addiction may have done to you, you are able to maintain and still have friendships that have lasted over 25 years, and even a close relationship with your brother and your mom. And that's not an easy thing to do, especially for, of course, I've known a number of addicts, you know, not burn a whole lot of bridges. What do you credit that to?
Well, I guess their faith in me along the way, you know, that that, you know, the faith that, you know, that you know, and it's funny because so many trips to rehab, you know, and so many times, like, it's going to happen for me this time, you know, and then being like, yeah, we'll see, you know. So I guess in a way, I really had to live my way back, the way I put it, is to be, you know, down to the most simplest things, like when I say I'm coming to your house, I'm coming to your house. You know, those kind of moments. You
sure.
Smile many of those moments. You know, and to be accountable, and so that's, you know, and it was a slow process, you know, for them to come back around again, which was, you know, culminated in for two other, you know, Eric and Melissa this weekend with us, you know, playing music together again.
What advice might you give to young girls who are at that stage where they're questioning what they want to do, their sexuality, all the issues that face young women in general that you've been through, grown through, gotten past, and are able to live to tell?
Yeah. You know, as a girl, you know, growing up, there's the phrase, when you're a kid, it doesn't make sense, but as you get older, it does, is that this too shall pass, that struggle of being so, you know, confused and, you know, that, or feeling so different because, you know, discovered you're gay, or you want to start a band and you want to talk about some things that you want to talk about. How do you go about doing that? You know, and you know, with working in rock camp, that's like there's an opportunity again for girls to go and learn how to, you know, get hear from other women who've gone before them, you know, and talk about how we did it. And so giving back that way, being of service to girls that way is such a big thing. You know, it's, I think, the biggest thing you can do to help is to be there and to talk and to open up conversations.
Thank you very much, Patty. And yeah. What's next for you? Do you have, I know you have another band.
I have a 18-month-old daughter, so that's kind of my focus these days. And then I have a band called The Cold and Lovely.
Okay.
And that's kind of my focus in the film, you know, so that's a lot.
All right, well, that is a lot. Well, thank you, Patty.
Thank you.
I got to ask you, because that opens this Friday, 420.
Yes.
What's the significance of 420? When I mention this name, the Bob Marley...
I know. The Bob Marley documentary is amazing. Do you know what 420 is this code for, Byron?
No, I probably...
That's good. That's good that you don't know. Yeah. Do you know what 420 is the code for?
No.
I know. Chris, do you know what 420 is the code for?
Code for
possession
of marijuana.
No.
You do? Yes, I know.
No, yeah, you just heard. No, you just. Yeah, yeah. Some pothead, obviously.
Yes. It's a former dealer.
Do they have potheads in Italy?
No, it's a former dealer. I remember.
Former dealer that you knew.
I met, but.
Yeah, met casually. Through a friend of a friend, right?
The other night, actually, since we are in the area, I just heard the story.
Oh, my God. Look at that. You're on the air right now.
Hello, America.
Diva has just shown. Chris, Diva is here. You don't know Diva, but she's got purple and green hair. You'd like her.
No, that's blue.
Everybody, it's blue.
Say hello, Chris.
Hi, Chris. How are you? You're talking to to a bunch of my favorite people.
So, now you met Maria, Diva?
Yes, we did.
This is my co-host, Byron.
And we know
it. Joe.
I don't know that guy.
No, you don't know. Did you want to join us? You're on your way somewhere?
I see.
Dinner. Now, she says dinner's ready, and she's got onion and garlic chips, like 5 bags. That's dinner.
Do you live in the area?
I do.
I'm going to toddle on home.
Okay.
I'll see you and be on the air.
All right.
Fun, guys. Did you just come from where I came from?
Yes. Yes. We can't talk about it. Yes. We can't talk about it. Yes.
I know nothing.
Okay. All right.
Goodbye, America.
Well, there it is. On any given corner, we could be in New York.
We should do this more often.
Chris and I used to do this all the time. And the weird thing is we'd go around, right? And back in the day, in the late 20th century, we'd have a microphone, okay? And we'd walk around and we'd interview people. You should see how stupid people get just because it's a microphone. It's like... You could be anybody. You could be an idiot with the microphone, but they don't know. It could be fake. And they were like,
I used to run away when I saw a microphone in the streets of Rome. Are you crazy?
Run away?
Yes. Like, I mean, why should I talk to people I don't know? Just, so, you know, to television. Why do I? I mean, if they pay me, it's different.
Oh, look at that. She'll talk for money. She has a sign. We'll talk for money.
No, you know that I don't. Not with, of course, you know that I don't all the time. But in Rome, yes, I used to.
No, did you catch that, Byron? She will talk for money.
I will talk for money at the microphone, yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
I want the copyright and everything.
It's the making of.
We'll talk for money.
Open up your mind and be.
And that was an episode of Night Shift from 2012. That's 10 years ago, and it was from August 2012. And you heard Byron, the mystery guest, Joe Masseri, Chris on the phone, even some people running into us while we were out there doing what we were doing, and then the interview I had. Next, I'm going to go to a more traditional show. This is back... Again, this is 9 years ago. We were on at midnight, and we were on from midnight till 3, so it was a 3-hour show. But I'm just going to jump in. I played some of the intro earlier,
So I'm just going to jump into the second part of that intro where we start talking. But this is an episode where I had Elena in the studio and Chris ends up being on the phone. And we had an interesting topic. The topic was whether or not you feel you have fulfilled your potential, whatever you felt that potential was. And it's interesting the answers, and it's interesting the conversation it led to. It was a conversation that lasted for well over 2.5 hours, but I'll play about an hour to you. But if you're enjoying this this episode, this encore presentation of Night Shift, you're enjoying, hopefully, WBAI, and it is now just about 11 o'clock on a Monday night, and hopefully you've been enjoying this, and you know what? You're saying to yourself, wow, I like this. I like the station, even if I've pledged before, but I am compelled to pledge. So what I'm going to ask is if you could become a WBAI buddy in the name of Night Shift. Celebrate the fact that Night Shift has been on for 30 years and donate $30 a month. Anybody that donates $30 a month, I will make sure you email me at lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com. I will make sure you get something special. So, please consider right now becoming a WBAI buddy in the name of Night Shift for $30 a month, celebrating 30 years of Night Shift, me being here on the air, and hopefully you staying up late with us when we were on even later. You know, the show started being on at 3:30 at 6 a.m., then we moved to midnight, and now we're on from 10 till midnight. So, you can call 212-209-2950, that's 212-209-2950, and make a $30 pledge. Become a WBAI buddy, $30 for 30 years of Night Shift. Do it right now if you can. It would be very helpful. It would be very, very, very helpful. As a matter of fact, you can also go online to WBAI.org, and right there, right on the front page, there are all kinds of ways to donate. You can go to the page for Night Shift. That's NITESHIFT. And if you go to Night Shift, you put that in the search bar. It'll take you to our page, and then you can donate in the name of the show. If you can't become a BAI buddy for some reason, then just donate $30. Do that tonight. Show me, show us, show the station that you care. And now we're going back. Well, we're going back to the past, not to the future.
Consuelo, they're not human.
And you don't think it's time somebody had a dream again, huh? You don't think that it's time that somebody cared enough to have a dream?
I mean see, I mean
today,
emotions.
To the sun.
sure.
Close your eyes.
My eyes are closed.
To avoid pain and escape suffering. I would not advise you to seek higher levels of consciousness or spiritual evolution. You cannot achieve them without suffering. Insofar as you do achieve them, you are likely to be called on to serve in ways more painful to you, or at least demanding of you, than you can now imagine. Then why desire to evolve at all, you may ask? If you ask this question, perhaps you do not know enough of joy. A final word on the discipline of balancing and its essence of giving up. You must have something in order to give it up. You cannot give up anything you do not already have. If you give up winning without ever having won, you are where you were at the beginning, a loser. You must forge for yourself an identity before you can give it up. Develop an ego before you can lose it. This may seem elementary, but there are many people who possess a vision of evolution yet lack the will to evolve. They believe it is possible to skip over the discipline, to find an easy shortcut to sainthood. Often they attempt to attain it by simply imitating the superficialities of saints, retiring to the desert, or taking up carpentry. Some even believe that by such imitation they have really become saints and prophets. They are unable to acknowledge that they are still children and face the painful fact that they must start at the beginning and go through the middle. To sum up, discipline is a system of techniques of dealing constructively with the pain of problem solving in such a way that all of life's problems can be solved. Four basic techniques have been described: delaying gratification, assumption of responsibility, dedication to the truth or reality, and balancing. Discipline is a system of techniques because these techniques are interrelated. In a single act, one may utilize two, three, or even all of the techniques at the same time. If practiced unceasingly and genuinely, these techniques are alone sufficient to enable the practitioner of discipline, or disciple, to evolve to spiritually higher levels. The strength, energy, and willingness to use these techniques are provided by love. We'll be right back.
show.
Night shift.
And girls, you want to call in and see what we're doing? Please do. We have a hot show for you. It's called Night Shift. We're on till 3. So do it. Or be square.
Elena, you can't really say that without giving out the phone number. You're like, do you want to call in and see what we're doing? And then you don't give out the number. What the hell is that?
Oh, well.
First of all, the old number is in the back. Did you know the old? Do you remember the old number?
212-682.
No, the old number from Wall Street.
Yeah, 212-682-2900.
That's 209.
Oh, okay. 2900.
How could you forget that? You did it for 10 years.
I'm a little dyslexic.
That's, you know.
You're tuned to listener-sponsored radio. This is WBAI. This is Night Shift. And I'm Mike Sargent. I'm here with Elena. Elena, how are you?
How are you?
Elena Fulton, the one and the only. And Chris, are you there on the phone?
Yeah. I'm right here. Do you have me up?
Yeah, I have you up, Chris.
Okay, and right? Don't touch it now. Put a piece of tape on it right there. Because if somebody calls me and tells me they can't hear me, I'm going to get mad.
You're going to get mad. And what will
happen? You're going to get mad?
You'll get mad.
What will you do?
I'll hang up the phone.
You'll hang up.
And I'll be gone.
He'll be gone.
Because they can't hear me. They can't hear my joke.
That's a threat. That's very tempting.
You say some really funny stuff and nobody can hear you. As a matter of fact, they say when he lowers the mic, it sounds like you sound like a crazy person off in the background mumbling.
He said
it's really funny because you're like talking and he says you could like be reading like whatever. You could be reading a book.
You could be reading
in the background.
I think you should. Like, I think you should just read Shakespeare in the background.
My buddy said you're saying all this really stuff and nobody can hear it.
No, you can hear it. Well, you know what? If you want to be heard, you should come into the studio. You're on the phone and you think the system's perfect.
I can't even get into because of the train crash now. Oh, please.
Like you were ever going to take a train. Like the last time you would, first of all, please.
I take that train. That's the train. It's the only.
That's when you go to the blue knot. That's where you take that train.
Or artery or whatever word that is.
So, Elena, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
How have you been, Elena?
I've been.
Mike just segued on to something else.
Well, I did. Are you going to tell me about you taking the train, which is bogus, and you don't take the train? You take it to come to a concert. Yeah, but what does that have to do? What does that have to do with anything?
We do miss you, Chris.
Not at 7 o'clock in the morning.
But we need to see your face.
You know, Celeste was waiting for that train, and it was delayed because of the crash. But I do have a question for you, Elena.
I couldn't imagine what the question would be.
Here's the question. Well, I do have a theme, but a more important question, Elena. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good.
It was good? You don't really sound convincing. Sure? You don't sound really convincing there, I have to say.
Yeah.
No, it was fine. I got my mashed potatoes and...
What do you do?
You know.
What do you do, Elena?
Well, I dressed nicely and... You know, I had a bit of a tummy ache, so I couldn't eat as much as I wanted. But
you had a stomach ache before you had Thanksgiving.
Yes, so I kind of got to miss out on what I've been looking forward to all year.
What do you do?
But nevertheless, it's Thanksgiving. And it's about being with people you really love.
And what do you do on Thanksgiving? You just eat?
We eat, we help out.
What do you do?
Make the food, even though I'm incompetent. I still do the best I can. But... trying to put the salt in the salt shakers. I couldn't even do that.
I understand. All right. Well, Elena, this is a very sad Thanksgiving. What about you, Chris? How was your Thanksgiving?
It was great, man. On the drive back, I was on these back roads.
Coming up out of Connecticut.
And a really large gray wolf passed right in front of my car.
Did you hit it?
No, I didn't. But, I mean, it's pretty wild. I've only seen a wolf twice in my life, and it's just kind of bizarre. So then I went and looked it up in that general area, like where the border of Connecticut and Massachusetts is. But the bum thing was, man, I came home with like really cool stuff, and they forgot to put the gravy and the mashed potatoes in my care package, so I had no gravy.
Oh goodness, stop!
Which was, I swear, you know.
So you didn't make your own gravy? You didn't make your own gravy?
But I had a great Thanksgiving. It was really nice too. Spend time, you know, with the family, and makes you feel like, you know, time is important.
I understand.
How was your Thanksgiving?
Mine was very, very, very quiet. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Mike, did you get to stuff the mystery turkey?
You know, you're what Sean Connery would call a stupid man.
The mystery turkey, do you know what that is?
No.
By the way, you're playing some great music tonight.
Are you enjoying the music?
Yeah, right from the beginning, like the opening of the show, the music was great.
That's going to be on the compilation, you know, the DGM, Winter DGM. You win it.
Well, Elena, did you travel away? Were you away? Or you stayed?
She went to Long Island. Isn't that right, Elena?
Yes, sir. I went to Long Island. Rockville Center.
You know, I once had a surprise birthday party thrown for me in Rockville Center.
What do you do?
Really?
Yes. It was...
Where was it?
It was...
I'm curious, because I've been to them almost every...
It was at a hotel. It was at a hotel.
Okay. Well, not that one.
you know, I don't want to say more, but it was at a hotel, and it was a surprise party, and these people put it on for me. Surprise birthday party in Rockville Center.
That's nice. When was that? Like you were 12?
No, no, no. This is in my early 20s. My early
20s. No, I would be. I don't think how anybody could put a surprise birthday party on for you now. It would be like impossible.
Well, yeah, of course. You know,
it'd be impossible because you couldn't. Because you wouldn't. You just don't go anywhere without vetting it first.
Well, you know.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Later, like, keep up. You're like, Michael, meet me in 2 hours at 57th at 6. And you wouldn't show up because even if you, there's no adventure, and you'd have to be like, well, why am I going to meet you? Well, I can't tell you why you're going to meet me there. Just meet me. You go, well, I'm not coming unless you tell me. So no surprises for Mike.
So, Chris, can I ask you a question?
No. No question. Yeah, of course you can ask me.
Ask him what the phone number here is.
It's 212-209-2900, like the old number.
And Elena doesn't know.
Oh, it's 212-209.
She's giving out some other number, 682. Where did she even get that?
Her home phone number.
Exactly.
Shut up!
Like, call me at my house, please.
212.
What's the question, Elena? What do you want?
What's your question?
What, Chris, since you're...
Go ahead.
Yeah. What was the worst Thanksgiving that you can remember in recent history?
My worst Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm, where it just
do people have bad Thanksgivings? I mean, I've heard that they have awful family gatherings. That's what I've heard. Awful family gatherings.
I've never really had a bad Thanksgiving. The only thing that happens at my Thanksgivings is depending upon how many people are there with the family, political views start to sway in different directions, and people start to get very
charismatic,
very affirming in their tonality as to what their beliefs are politically, and then that turns into, like, a whole thing. Does that make sense?
Totally makes sense.
That's nice and vague.
So, well, not vague. I'm saying everyone starts, you know, so, like, all of a sudden, like, you know, my sister or whatever, somebody will just start rolling their eyes and be like, okay, enough with the political, because everyone's arguing about their, you know, that the government's going to get overthrown or the other government's not going to get overthrown. Or
I can totally see that. With like, whatever family you hail from, I can totally see that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, how awful everything is and then how wonderful everything is. And then, you know, this is a good... It depends on, like, who politically is in office, too. So it just turns into a whole discussion, you know, and heated, nevertheless. And then, you know, everyone just rolls their eyes. But that's the only part. Other than that, other than missing Thanksgivings because I've been sick or something, you know what I mean? If I had a cold, didn't want to get everybody else sick, I just completely have missed Thanksgivings, you know. Oh, one time I missed Thanksgiving because Mike, we had done the show, and I didn't get up. I didn't wait. We did the show. We used to be 3:30 to 6 a.m.
Yeah, we used to be on Thursday mornings.
Right. So I'd wake up, it'd be like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then to try to hustle out of the city at 2 o'clock was just, you know, everyone's like, whoa, you know, we're sitting down to eat an hour, and it's like, good luck with that. So that's the only time I was bumped
there
out.
Is, Elena.
That was back in the day.
Right. And what's your worst Thanksgiving? You have a bad Thanksgiving memories? Bad Thanksgiving memories?
No, I just... You know, not fitting in. I mean, there have been.
Not fitting in your family?
Well,
it how do you not fit in your family?
Because she doesn't dress appropriately for Thanksgiving.
How do you dress? Right. Right?
Heck no. I'm very
curious,
particular
George,
about what I wear.
For what? For Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Like you pick, you
you're
carefully pick.
Worms with this, Mike. Go
you
ahead.
Carefully
going.
Pick your Thanksgiving outfit. No, I'm not opening this. Elena asked you this.
I wear tights.
Question.
I wear, you know.
You wear tights?
I wear tights. I wear a skirt.
Or like
your
tan
dress.
Or something? That's wild.
So.
Poor Elena.
Well, let me ask you a question. What do tights and a skirt have to do with Thanksgiving? Just so I'm.
Well, Chris just, you know, confronted me that I didn't look right, so
I didn't confront you. I was just teasing. I was just having fun. I'm making
jokes. I know, but
I'm
not
confronting you. I know you dress appropriately all the time. I like the way you dress.
Oh, thank you. But, you know, when, you know, if you don't fit in or you don't feel...
This is inappropriate what you're wearing right now, Elena. This is inappropriate.
Why?
Inappropriate.
But I can try to myself to contribute.
Inappropriate.
Wow, what is she wearing that's inappropriate?
Just whatever it is. again.
No, anyway, so I try to contribute as much as I can.
All right, what does that have to do with how you dress?
Well, to answer Chris's, you know, second question.
Which was?
And yours.
What was my question? I asked you a question?
I think so.
I didn't
ask
you.
Why I had a bad Thanksgiving. Well, sometimes, you know, if
all right,
you don't
the worst one, the worst one. Go ahead, you don't fit in. Okay, I'm listening.
Well, that's... No, I can't really go further into detail. I apologize
okay.
if I started this whole
Yeah, you just started the conversation. I cannot speak on this subject, but what happens with you?
So I am...
Thank you, Elena. Thank you.
What happens with you? Right, I'm not going
to But I have to admit that
yeah.
with all the, you know, the bad Thanksgivings or...
All the bad... That sounds like a country song. All
well,
the
I
bad
hope that,
Thanksgiving.
You know, that's not the case, you know.
And not to be... you know, facetious or whatever, but I have had some of the best Thanksgivings that anyone could ever want to have.
Well, there
okay.
you go.
Well, there you go.
So,
look at that, Elena.
Thanks for that. Post Thanksgiving.
Elena has had some of the best. Well, there it is, Elena. Well, thank you, Elena. Thank you for that holiday moment. And you are tuned to Listen to Sponsored Radio, WBAI, and this is Night Shift. And the theme, do you want to know the theme, Chris?
Oh, yeah, what's the theme?
Are you ready for the theme? And who's on the phone with here? Is that Danny? Danny.
Hey.
Look at Danny. Danny.
I can't even hear him.
Well, that's it.
Hey.
That's as loud as he gets. Danny.
Danny, I can't hear you, man.
I don't know
it's
if
it's... not Danny.
It's not Danny. Okay, who is this?
This is Al.
Al.
Hey, Al.
Yeah.
Al.
Hi, Alina. How are you?
How are you? You sound hot.
Oh, yeah. We were missing you on a show for a long time.
Where I know, Mike. Suppresses me.
I suppress
oh,
her.
Oh, that's so bad.
Yes.
That's so bad.
I know.
Oh, it's nice to hear your voice again on the show.
Thank you, Al.
All right. That's all I have to say.
Well, thank you, Al. Just one of Elena's fans just called in. I didn't even give out the theme yet. Can I tell you the theme, Elena? Chris?
Yes.
All right, the theme is fulfillment of promise. And part of what triggered this, a number of things that triggered this, some things that are going on in my own life personally, and then Paul Walker dying because, you know, he was 40 and he had made these hit films, you know, and he had never quite, you know, gotten A-list. You know, he was
no,
in these
not
big
quite.
Hits, but he had never quite gotten A-list. And he's one of those actors who, you know, he'd do a few films, they'd kind of do middling or straight to DVD, and then, you know, or he was in some projects that looked like they were going to be great, like Richard Donner's Timeline, but then it didn't make any money. And so he's kind of solid, though. You know, people like him. Girls like him. Do you like him?
He's
you like
hot.
Paul? See, there it is. Girls think he's hot. But, you know, he had a pretty good career.
He actually did.
He had a pretty good career.
One of the covers for
and
our
you,
magazine.
Now, did you know he was a child actor, by the way?
Yes.
He was in Monster in the Closet.
In Growing Pains.
Yeah. And he was in Growing Pains. He was in Monster in the Closet in 1986. And he actually looked, in that movie, he looked like that kid from A Christmas Story.
Oh, Peter Billingsley.
I see. You actually know who that
so
is.
So he's been hustling it for a long time.
He's been, he's one of the rare child actors who grew up without any issues. You know what I'm saying? He didn't, you know,
well,
he didn't
you
have
know
any
what?
Drug
let me,
problem.
Let me say something here.
Yeah, sure.
So he was 40, and his girlfriend is 23.
I didn't even know anything about his girlfriend, because I wasn't talking about her. But go ahead.
To me. His girlfriend's 23, and he started dating her. They've been dating and together for 7 years. Okay? So just put that in perspective.
What does that have to do with anything I'm talking about? I'm just
has
walking.
Everything to do with everything.
All right, anyway. Point I'm making is, in terms of his career as an actor, which is all I was really talking about, he had a pretty good career. And,
well,
you
were saying he wasn't affected by being a childhood actor.
Well, you know, dating a young girl, that's really...
20 years younger than him.
Okay, that's, again...
Roughly.
That's not...
And was dating her when she was 16, and he was 7 years younger, so he was 33.
Okay, can I
just... I'm just saying that. That's what I read, so I'm not judging him. I feel bad that he's dead. But
I didn't even read that, because...
Well, I read that, so that's why
I understand.
But anyway, so yeah, I'm with you, though. But he didn't have all the other foibles that... childhood actor.
All right. I honestly, I don't consider him dating a young girl.
No, not that I don't consider it a problem, but I don't consider that unique in Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? So that's something any number of guys could do. At least he's not as bad as that clown who married. Who was that?
Oh, the guy from.
From Green Mile. He's like, he was like 35 years old or some ridiculousness.
Anyway, was like 60, and she was like.
It was ridiculous. Anyway, 70. The point I'm making is that. He's someone who maybe didn't do everything, but he was on his way right now. He had two films in the can, one that's coming out this month, called Hours, and another one that
now
was...
Now in the midst, and maybe what's, delayed.
What's in the... Well, no. The Hours is done, and that's coming out this month. Then he also had a film called Brick House, which is a remake of the French film District B-12, which is a Luc Besson film, and it's one of those films with... what do they call that? Jumping off buildings. They did it in the first James Bond movie. I forgot what it's called. It's this art form. But at any rate, point being, it's a remake of that. And that's coming out in March. And then he was three quarters of the way filming Fast and Furious 5. I mean, 7.
7.
So my prediction is that they're going to, you know, build his death into this story and have a funeral for him and all that stuff. That's my prediction. But... What brought me to all of that is the theme, like, and the question, of course, goes to you first, Elena.
Yes.
And the question is fulfillment of promise. How much of the promise you believe you have or you had, have you realized? And have you realized any of the promise you think you have? And what's stopping you? And do you think you still can fulfill or realize your promise, the potential you have?
All right. Well, no. I don't think I've fulfilled any of my promise.
Okay. And what do you think has stopped you from doing it?
Me.
But what about you?
I think it's built into my persona. Because I've... You know, this is actually an interesting topic because I've come through thinking about this for the last few months and even beyond. But I don't think I'm ever going to let myself really achieve anything I really want.
You say you won't let yourself, so you can acknowledge you stopping yourself?
Oh, yeah. I know the enemy in the room.
And why do you think you stop yourself? Why, so self-sabotage, is that what you're saying? You sabotage yourself?
Yes, and we've talked about this on the show before, but it's self-sabotage, for sure.
And why do you think you're sabotaging yourself?
There are various reasons, but probably...
What's the biggest reason?
I don't think I deserve it.
So deservability. Okay. And
that's been... truth since I was a teen, or even before.
So, in
that.
Other words, you don't feel you deserve the success you dream of having.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me ask you this: do you think it's too late? Do you think you still can't? Do you think you said you don't think you'll ever let yourself? So, A, do you think it's too late? And then, even if it's not too late, you're saying you wouldn't let yourself do it anyway. So first question, do you think it's too late?
Well, there's never too late as long as you're still breathing.
Okay. But you don't think you'll ever let yourself fulfill your promise or potential?
I think I said this on the show before, but it's like running on a treadmill. Like, you keep dreaming and you keep dreaming. And, you know, you keep grasping for, you know, the carrot at the end of the treadmill, and it's not... You won't let yourself grab it. So
you grasp for it, but you won't let yourself grab it. So do you actually feel yourself reaching? Do you feel you're reaching for this carrot?
Oh, I'm reaching. I have dreams.
So you dream about reaching for it. You think about reaching for it, but do you actually physically reach your... Do you take any action towards it, towards reaching?
Well, that's an interesting question, because Basically what I do is I, you know, I can see my little fingers reaching out.
Your little tiny fingers?
Yes. But I can see my little fingers reaching out. And that, you know, satisfies me. But on the other hand...
So the little fingers would be like any attempt.
Yeah, any attempt.
Okay, any attempt.
So it's like setting aside websites, setting aside this and that goal.
Gotcha.
But then it's like, that makes me happy. But to go the full mile...
So you never follow through on the things
you begin. So I'm a cowardice, yes.
And are you afraid of succeeding or are you afraid of failing?
I think it's in between. Like, I'm afraid that, again, like, I think that success is too good for me. So it's not necessarily
too good for you.
One thing or the other. It's not, I'm not afraid of failing. I'm afraid of succeeding, and then I don't really
deserve it. Well, let me ask you this final question. You, as an old woman, you've never fulfilled your potential. You've never done what you wanted to do. You've settled into this dialogue with yourself that you don't deserve it. And you don't deserve a lot of things. You don't deserve the love and friendship and relationships and this and that and all the things that you want in all the areas of your life. And you're unhappy and alone. Doesn't that scare you more than achieving something and feeling that you don't deserve it?
Of course, everything. I'm afraid of everything. But, you know, it's doing something about it, I do it. But to a point. But when you have that unmitigated fear of like actually getting what you can and grasping at it, you know, I haven't gotten over that. And I went through it in college and high school. So it's something that I have to work through.
But you just said you never will. You just proclaimed that you don't think you will ever let yourself have what you want. Is that also a fear? Or do you believe that to be true?
I think it's self-doom.
What, you say that as if, well, it's self-doom. Like, I know what self-doom is. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean you haven't answered my question? Is that a fear, or is that what you've resigned to believing?
Well, it's a fear when you know what you're doing. Like, I made this analogy before, but, like, when you're walking on quicksand, like, you know you're doing it, but can you get out of it? No.
I don't know if you answered my question, but I'm afraid to ask you again. Well, thank you, Elena. That was bracingly honest. Chris?
Yeah.
Was that bracingly honest?
Yeah.
So, can I ask you the same question, or should we take some calls?
Well, I don't really have an answer to that question.
Well, yes, you do. You can answer. They're just a basic question. Do you feel that you fulfilled much or a lot or any of your promise and potential?
Well, it all depends on...
just the potential you see in yourself.
If you buy into that.
Though, you buying into your own buy-into. You buy it. It's you, your life.
But
your
as I continue through life, I find that a lot of things become unimportant.
All right, so...
In other words, as I have ventured further and further through life, and an example of this guy, Paul Walker, dying at 40, you know what I mean? How important is any of it? Basically, I guess what it really comes down to is just how you treat people. And are you...
What, are you turning into Byron?
No, but Byron's right. I'm not turning into Byron, but it's the truth. It's like, it's like, what does it all really matter? I mean, I watched Bill Gates talking about, he's trying to make a difference in giving away, and he's going to give away all his wealth. And he said, well, my kids are going to have to basically fend for themselves. Who knows what that means? But my point is that, there's somebody that's very, very wealthy, and, how important is any of it, really? You know what I mean? I mean, how successful could you have been if you were Steve Jobs, and he's no longer with us? So, my point is like, if you are on the road to fulfilling your promise, then, you know, is when you die, technically, you have fulfilled your mission and your job and your time is up? Or does it some random act of the world just takes you out? You know what I mean? I mean, why,
right,
you know, why does
all
it...
Right, all right. Can I
yeah, go ahead,
can
man.
I take you as a picture yourself as a helium balloon? Okay,
I am a helium balloon,
and I am pulling you back down to earth.
The red balloon,
back down to earth to pull you as a balloon.
Yeah.
To look face to face at this balloon. Direct question.
Yeah.
Do you feel you have fulfilled some, a lot, half, or any of your potential? The potential you saw in yourself. Just in total, in your life.
For me?
For you. And you could break it down into categories. You could say you fulfilled your potential in terms of...
You know, I think that no, I don't think that I have.
Okay, then, second question. Do you think you still can? Is it too late?
Well, my perspective on that changes through time. In other words, maybe...
Right now.
I mean, your potential and promise is relative depending upon what you can physically,
slippery
and mentally...
politician.
No, it's just what you can physically and emotionally.
Oh my God!
And
can you answer? Listen. Stop talking in the third person.
You know, if you don't feel like doing it,
listen.
Good,
why are you speaking in the third person? I'm talking directly to you.
Person.
I don't want you to talk in every person. I want you to talk about you.
I'm talking about me. It sounds like I'm speaking in third person.
You are. You're talking about
I'm talking in tongues.
Mike, I think you need to give him a little break.
I am not going
to
give him a break.
He needs
I want
to know the answer. He
I want
to know
his answer to this question, not the world.
No, but it's
as
the truth.
As you travel.
It is my life. Answer. Like, if I wake up today and I don't feel like doing anything, which is my prerogative, if I don't feel like doing anything, then my potential, who cares about potential? If I don't feel like, if I don't feel good, if you don't physically feel good, you don't want to do anything.
Okay,
so,
can I use a word here?
You use any word you want.
Malarkey.
I mean, I feel
malarkey.
Fine. I'm not saying I don't feel
malarkey.
Good. I feel fine, but...
Malarkey. Malarkey. That's what? The word. Malarkey.
So, Chris, when the days that you do feel... Like
oh my God! You're gonna try and pin him down. Now you can try and pin him down on
think,
the days that you do feel. Listen, I'm just asking a general question.
I think
question.
You're being a little harsh.
No, I think he's being a little evasive. What do you think? Okay,
I'm not being evasive.
You are being.
No, he's
totally
being honest.
Evasive. All right.
But no, you know what it is. As the longer we spend time on the planet, the more time I spend
God.
Here.
Listen, I don't need context. You
but
can give
but
me
the context affects the answer.
Okay, but here's the deal. You can give me the answer and then give me the context. How's that? Because you
give me
all this context. You're not giving me an answer. You're giving me context. Oh, and at this point in my life, and
but,
if I
but
was
it's
standing,
the truth. Yeah, it depends on how I feel at the moment.
In other words, you don't want to answer the question?
No.
Or
it depends
changes,
on how I feel.
Oh,
you asked me how I feel right at this moment. The answer
right.
to your first your question was, do I feel like, no, I didn't feel like,
all right, you answered that question.
Then
no,
you
that
said, do you think it's possible
do
to fulfill your potential? And
do
I said,
you
well,
think it's
that
too
depends.
Late? Can you still fulfill some of this potential? Let's say you haven't fulfilled everything. Let's say you have, what, just in general.
I wanted to play for the Yankees, man. That's not going to happen.
Okay.
I don't want to play for the Yankees, but... do I feel that? I guess
is
on
it
a positive
too late?
Level, there's
is it
always,
too
there's always.
You go for the lane of philosophy.
No, but there's always opportunity. So to answer your question,
it's
do I feel that there's plenty of time left or time? I don't know if the answer to that last
okay.
week you asked me
right.
how would I want to be remembered.
No, I didn't ask you that.
You did
today.
2 weeks ago. You said, how do you want to be
that
remembered?
Was 2 weeks ago.
You said you don't remember asking me that question. How do you want to be remembered?
I can't
like,
remember from show to show.
I can, goofball.
All right, no, I have... can I ask a final question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, if you're not finished, finish.
But the rest of the point was that, yes, I feel that, you know, we can always change, and I can always change, and if I'm not feeling it one day, I can maybe feel it the next. So, to answer that, it depends on what moment in time it is. But at this very moment... To answer your question would be yes, I feel that there's time to fulfill my promise, my potential in this life.
Okay.
But again, it's a self-analysis of what I think is my potential. You know, a lot. You know, what
you qualifying
is
your own answer?
What, you know, how do you really know what your potential is? How do you know? Honestly,
listen,
that's kind of a crazy question because how do you really know?
Question.
How do you know?
I'm not. Listen, I'm not judging whether you're accurate. I'm not judging.
But I'm just saying, like, how do you know? Like you don't know. You know, if you took door number two versus door number one, your potential in life changes.
Chris, that
by
is
the decisions
completely,
you make.
That is completely taking away you out of the equation. You're not being taken responsibility for your own feelings about yourself.
I like myself.
Well,
okay, I don't have a problem with myself. Maybe you do, but
all right. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Mike, it's Tyrone.
Tyrone, how are you, sir? So,
I'm
Tyrone,
hi, Tyrone, what's happening, brother?
Tyrone, I got a question
for
you.
How are you, Chris?
And Chris, don't think I'm not going to come back to you because I'm going to come back to you.
And hello, Elena, how are you?
Hello, Tyrone.
Tyrone, I want to ask you a question.
Right on.
All right, question: do you feel you have? How old are you?
43.
Do you feel you have fulfilled much? Half or any of your potential?
Much
of your potential. Okay. And the do you feel that you still will achieve a great deal more?
There's more to do. Yeah,
there's more to do.
The time I will do so.
Okay.
But I don't think anyone gets close to fulfilling.
Wow. Well, you know, who's to say? It's all perspective. As Chris says,
right.
I mean, whether you see, I mean, some people may say, I could have been Beethoven, and you're thinking, like, you're out of your mind. Okay,
yeah, but you know what? Chris said something really important. There are opportunities. And I think when you consider what your potential is, it's the ability to see those opportunities, seize them, and walk through them.
That's good. You should be his spokesperson.
No, not at all. He was evasive.
Yeah, he was evasive.
Oh, thank you.
You're evasive. You may have had a couple of nuggets in there, but you were evasive.
I have nuggets, but you just got to pull them out.
I ain't pulling out none of your nuggets.
And Elena, thank you so much for being so honest.
Wasn't she really bracingly honest there?
It was beautiful, man, because most people won't go there because emotionally nobody really wants
to
go
there.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, thank you, Tyler.
That's why we keep her on the show. That's why she gets paid the big bucks.
All right, guys, I'm going to get off now.
All right, wait. One last question for you. You say you fulfilled much of your potential, and why do you think you've been able to fulfill it? That's my question.
Because I haven't really had much other to gravitate to. I mean, the things that I knew I could do without others and without all this head drama, I just did them. I did them blindly and passionately, and I still live that way. So it's never a question to me whether I can do something. It's just whether I'm in the right space of mind to actually just do it.
Very powerful, Tyrone.
Tyrone, can I ask you one?
Yeah, Elena's going to ask if she could be your disciple.
No, not at all.
Or your girlfriend.
She wants to be your boyfriend, Tyrone.
No.
Boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever you want.
She's willing to have the sex change.
Tyrone, is your brother on the show? Is that your brother?
Robert Brown is my brother, yeah.
Yeah, man.
What show?
I was watching it because there was the season premiere. I was thinking about you and your brother.
I've never seen Tremé. I don't have cable. I've seen it.
What show are they talking about?
Tremé. His brother was with Sean Connery in the film Finding Forrester.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but what show is he on now?
Tremé.
Actually, he was on the cover of the Daily News a couple of weeks ago. He was featured as someone that went
to the All right, well, listen, Karis, keep in mind, listeners don't know what you're talking about. Just keep that in mind. So you got to explain stuff.
My brother, Robert Brown, is an actor. And a few weeks ago, a lot of people probably saw the Daily News. He was featured on the cover for one of the stories about people who are black who were stopped at, like, stores. And
that was your brother at the Macy's. Yes. That's your brother. Yes. See? Chris?
What do you think?
You got to bring the rest of the audience in on whatever you're talking about.
I was going to. I remember him.
Yeah, right.
Not only do I remember him, I was thinking about him when I was watching the show. So there is. I'm putting out positive energy.
Right.
I'm his brother. And
don't
you know that. See that?
Buy it. Don't buy it.
I'm serious.
Whatever Chris is selling,
don't buy it. Because I think he's cool. I think you're cool anyway. Whatever.
Well, he listens to the show, so he must be cool. So, Tyrone, why are you up this late? That's what I want to know.
I just got off work at 12.
Ah, you're on the night shift.
So can I finish my question?
Oh,
or
you question
are you gentlemen going
right.
to interrupt
Elena
me all
Elena wants
the
to
time?
Be your disciple, and what's your phone number?
Oh, you give the phone number.
So ask your question of Sharon, Elena.
All right. So you said we're still so attainable. So what would be the one thing if you could, like, fall asleep, wake up, and see this
what
happen to
you. A revealing question that is, Alina. You can fall asleep and wake up and it's done.
Now that's a question that goes to the heart. It's not a question about what's factually possible tomorrow or right now. But if I could just be the father that I want to be to my daughter, then I would have done everything I've ever wanted to do. And that's it.
That's a very good answer. That was better than Byron.
That's
say that.
Very sweet.
Thank you, Tyrone.
Thank you.
Thank
right
you.
On.
All right, listen, how long have you been listening to the show?
And how hot are you?
I'm pretty hot. But I've been listening to the show for, I don't know, dude, I think maybe 10 years.
Wow.
You listened to the show for 10 years.
You've done a dime on Night Shift.
Are you serious?
He did a Night Shift dime.
Yeah, over the years, I've listened to BAI. I've listened consistently, I think, the last 4 or 5 years.
All right, and what
and
do
I've
you,
listened before.
Why do you listen to this show?
Probably heard the show.
I don't think so. I don't think he doesn't fuck the station.
No,
he's not in New York City a lot.
He's not in New York City. So, and why do you listen to the show, Robert?
Tyrone.
I'm sorry. Robert's your brother. Tyrone. Yeah. Sorry about that.
This is one of the nicest, super fucking excuse me. I'm sorry.
No worries.
It's hugely entertaining. You guys should get a much earlier spot and do and have this show. It's really, really great. It breaks away from all the political yada yada yada. It's, you know, like revolutionaries need fun. They need a lot of stuff. And your show is perfect for the station. It's a beautiful show.
Oh,
well,
thank
you, Tyrone. You can call anytime.
Or send your picture.
Right on, brother.
Call anytime.
Or send your picture.
All right. Hello, you're on the air.
Why are you hounding Chris?
I hound Chris because I must keep him in line. He is a hound. He must be hounded.
That you believe that a person's reach should exceed his or her grasp?
No.
The difference in philosophy?
No, I never said a person's reach should... I never stated any beliefs. I merely posed questions that I tried to get answered.
Sergeant, and this has been an encore presentation of some vintage Night Shift. This episode that you were listening to is from 2013. It was from December 2013. We were discussing a number of things and taking calls, as we used to do, and asking, have you fulfilled your potential, whatever you think that potential is? And so hopefully it's made you think about whether you've fulfilled your own potential and what that means to you. And if there are still some things left that you would like to do. So, hopefully one of those things you'd like to do is pledge for WBAI and become a WBAI buddy in the name of Night Shift. Night Shift's been on for 30 years, so pledge $30. You can do $30 a month, become a WBAI buddy, or you can pledge $30. Just $30 to say, hey, 30 years of Night Shift, I'm going to pledge my support. 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. It's very easy. There are people there ready to take your call, to take your pledge. And or you can go online to WBAI.org, or you can go to give2WBAI.org, and just go and just do it. Please. It would really help us because we really need your help. WBAI, unfortunately, is not in a great place financially, and we really need your support. So you can call 212-209-2950, or you can make a pledge online going to WBAI.org. Pledge $30 for 30 years of Night Shift. And Night Shift will be back next week. And until then, life, I am certain, will continue to be like science. Like science fiction. We'll be right back.
Local Station Board, the Pacifica Foundation Board, responsible for advising local management and operations, is holding its next regular meeting on Wednesday, September 14th at 7 p.m. In these unusual and difficult times, the Pacifica Network is struggling financially, so it's up to the LSB to have WBAI distinguish itself by doing everything necessary to be financially strong. Please join us for the next meeting of the WBAI LSB. The meeting, accessible to the public, includes an opportunity for public comment. The fastest and easiest way to join the meeting is by using the link on the Pacifica calendar at kpftx.org and on the WBAI website. You can also access the meeting by calling 929-205-6099. That's 929-205-6099, and enter this meeting ID 922-457-2995. Again, the meeting ID 922-457-2995. And as if that wasn't enough numbers, we also have a password. The password is 995, like WBAI's frequency, 99.5. So it's 995-995-99. Again, the password, 995-995-99. Do you have to contribute to WBAI to access the meeting? No, but we sure hope you do. And you can do that by sending a tax-deductible contribution made out to Pacifica-WBAI and mail it to WBAI 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. Or go to our website, WBAI.org, and click WBAI Buddy. And please donate in the name of your favorite show on listener-supported WBAI.
This is Wayne Kramer from the MC5. Nobody kicks out the jail.